Hello, church. It is so wonderful to be speaking to you today through the power of video call. So hello and thank you so much for having me again. This isn't the first time I've spoken to you. I actually visited you a few years ago. It was a very wet and grey evening, and I spoke in your lovely new foyer area in your church. It was very lovely, very beautiful. So although I'm not there with you now, I can really remember and picture your church building super well. So hello again to you all. So I just want to kick off this morning by reading a passage to you. And this passage is from Matthew 25, 14 to 30, if you would like to follow along with me. It's here ahead of me on my screen. So we'll start at verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. One of them he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who received 5 bags of gold went once and put all of his money to work and gained 5 more bags. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seeds. So I was afraid and went out and hid your hole in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seeds. Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have to have it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will sow in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." Now, I just want to start with that passage, and you might think, gosh, Lauren, that isn't a passage that is traditionally spoken about, maybe around the issue of climate change. And I know that Colin Usher spoke to you last week, and he mentioned climate change briefly in his talk, and it's really funny because that is exactly what I wanted to talk to you about today. So hello and thank you again for having me. My name is Lauren and I work for Tearfund and have for the past 4 years. And a few years ago, I actually went on a trip with Colin and Jenny Usher to visit our work in Malawi. And I know as a church, you have massively supported our work in Malawi. And if I was with you in person, I'd probably show you a little map of where Malawi sits in Africa. But for now, because we're on a video call, we'll just imagine that I am. So when you fly into Malawi, the first thing you notice is actually how green it is. And I don't know about you, but when I first started to think about visiting Malawi or an African country, I imagined kind of barren lands with empty rivers. I don't know what picture you have in your head. But in reality, in parts, as you fly into the country, you are greeted with a wave of greenery. Colin and Jenny will tell you that it isn't just the green that hits you when you touch down to land, it's actually the heat. It flattens you as you walk out of the plane and you're kind of fighting for a bit of aircon. Although it's so beautiful, Malawi is actually one of the poorest countries in the world. And according to the World Bank, around 70% of the population actually live below the international poverty line. And it's the country's high dependence on rainfed agriculture that makes it so vulnerable to climate shocks like drought, and which leads to the failure of crops like maize, which is a huge staple for the diet over in Malawi. And then this actually drives up rural poverty. And many households are slipping further and further into chronic poverty every year, which is just terrible. Because of these climate shocks that are happening year on year, I mean, 2018, we had floods, we had drought, 2019 floods, 2020, we have COVID. This year, don't we? There's lots of going on, including climate change too, but these small farming families are the ones who are struggling the most, particularly the female-headed households. They're particularly vulnerable due to gender inequality in Malawi. And there's lots of mothers that actually find themselves being ground down further into hopelessness as they see their families being gripped in this ever-deepening poverty. And in the area of Malawi that you support as a church, there are actually 90% of families there actually rely on farming and agriculture. But because of climate change, there is a huge shortage of land that they can actually use. And so because of that, so many people are just struggling to feed their families. But there is hope, and the church is the hope, and the church is restoring the balance. And through your incredible church support as a church together, this project that you've been supporting has improved the capacity and resilience of small-scale farmers through empowering the local church in Malawi. And the local church in Malawi is leading change in the community and in the face of climate change and the droughts that are happening. And I just want to share a little bit about what your support as a church has actually meant to so many communities and individuals in Malawi. I mean, because of your support, we're talking about 800 farmers. This is 800, if you times it up by their families and their communities and their villages, this is a huge amount. And we've been able to support through Tier Fund 800 farmers. And then they were identified to form 30 different farming clusters across the community. And they were all taught farming God's way. And I'll come on to what farming God's way is a little bit later. 60 of these individuals became lead farmers, and they actually received training in agriculture and organization skills, and they actually were able to work together and share learning between each other as a community. And the lead farmers were taught about seed systems, about pit planting, soil and water management, pest control, how to make organic fertilizer, so many things. And all of these contribute to a way of farming, which we call farming God's way. As a result of this, 155 households have been able to grow more than one crop, and that probably is more than just maize. As I mentioned earlier, it is a main food in Malawi. And 700 of these households have actually increased their yields despite receiving little rainfall this year. And when I visited Malawi along with the ushers a few years ago, we actually saw some of these farming God's way techniques taking place, which was brilliant to see. We were driving through fields, and some of these fields were kind of full to the brim of crops towering above our heads. And we thought, wow, so amazing. And we were driving in this SUV, and they were towering above the SUV, and yet there were fields right next to them that had crops in that were so small and damaged, and the plots were full of weeds, and it was almost such a strange juxtaposition to see the two next to each other. And we felt like that, you know, so much attention needed to be on these other plots, and to be revitalized like the others, with the crops towering above our heads. And we couldn't understand at the time why some fields were thick with vegetation and crops and others were dry, and the crops, but they were kind of barely at the height of your knee. They were really small. And at the end of our drive, we came to a lady's house, and it was a beautiful house, actually. It had a corrugated iron roof and a few bedrooms in it, and there were chickens running around, and I think, if I remember rightly, there was a few pigs as well. This lovely lady had laid out a blanket for us all to sit on, and we sat down and we listened to her story. And it was a story of why some of the crops in the fields grew lush and tall, and in other fields right next door, the crops dwindled and they looked frail. And the lady told us how she had no money, and she had She had children, she had mouths to feed, and she just couldn't make ends meet. And she told us how her friend had actually invited her to join the local church group to hear about a new way of farming, and to join her in hearing about new composting techniques. And the lady had said no at first. And she said, no, I want to stick to my traditional way of farming and you know, the methods that I know already that have been passed down to me from generation to generation. But it was actually the next season, she could see how well her friend had actually done. And she could see that her friend's crop yield had more than doubled. And she said she couldn't believe her eyes. And this is what actually made her change her mind when she saw. And she asked if she could go along to the church group next time it was running. She went along, and this is how she heard about farming God's way. Now, with the changing climate, the seasons are so unpredictable. So this new way of farming, praying and singing to the Lord, whilst they're out in their fields scattering seeds, whilst mulching as well, mulching the crops from the previous season and using a new sustainable compost, meant that this lady's crop yield multiplied. And she was able to farm so much of it. She had so much there that she had enough to feed her family. But she was also able to sell some of it as well at the market to make some money and buy some more chickens. I think she bought some more chickens. And this isn't a one-off story. This is actually a story that we are hearing time and time again in Malawi. Now, with climate change, farmers are having to find new ways of growing food. It's as simple as that. But when you have been passed down knowledge from generation to generation, it is difficult to change. And this is why the church is stepping in to restore livelihoods and share knowledge of farming God's way. And the reading, I'll just go back to the reading, the passage that I read at the beginning. It's a well-known passage, and it's part of a series of parables that Jesus tells to talk through how to talk about his second coming, about how he's going to return to the earth. And he encourages us as his followers, be ready, be alert. And to quote Jesus from Matthew 24, he says, you do not know which day your Lord is coming. Now, there is so much we could actually pull out from that passage, but I wanted to share a few thoughts in light of what I've shared around climate change and the work you support in Malawi. And at the beginning of the passage, we see the master making his servants responsible for managing different portions of his estate. And notice, even though the servants are given different amounts to take care of, it all still belongs to the master. They're merely stewards of what belongs to the master. Now, I sum up Jesus' message of this story in a question. And the question I believe Jesus wants us to ask is this: what have you done with what I have given you? Quite often this passage is talked about in regards to money, which it certainly is, but it's so much more than that. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. And just think about that for a moment. Everything you have, you own, that you've acquired, that is in your life, is a gift, and in actual fact, it's not even yours. It belongs to God. Your house, your job, your time, your car, the food you eat, our world, our climate, it is all a gift and it all belongs to God. He has simply made us stewards of what belongs to him. And in this story, Jesus is teaching his followers one day we will eventually answer for how we invest and how we steward all that God has entrusted to us. And he will ask us, what have you done with what I've given you? And there's a quote, and this really touches my heart, actually, and it probably will you too. And the quote is, the climate crisis is hurting those who have done nothing, done the least to create it. I'll say that again. The climate crisis is hurting those who have done the least to create it. And I wonder now in this moment, if we take a moment to think about that. With all God has given and poured into our lives, what we have done, what we'd rather, what we are doing with what he has given us, how are we helping others? And now this isn't comparing, it's not about comparing with anyone else. In this story, the master entrusted different amounts to different servants, and the master was concerned about what they did with what they were given. And for us, it's about the attitude of our hearts and the willingness to obey and serve Jesus and be good stewards. And part of being a good and faithful steward is about generosity, money and possessions, especially in relation to the poor and the marginalized and those whose stories we've just heard of in Malawi and people's realities during this climate crisis that we are currently in. But it's also about being stewards of our time. And in the next story, Jesus tells us, he talks about the ones who will enter the kingdom are the ones who fed the hungry, who clothed the naked, who gave time to visit those in prison, and who looked after the sick. And I also believe if you go right back to the start of the Bible, one of the first things that God planned for us to do was to be good stewards of his creation. In Genesis 1:26, it says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule and have dominion over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over the creatures that move along the ground." Now, Christians have often misunderstood God's mandate to exercise dominion and that right we have to dominate and exploit creation for our own wants and needs. And as we see, this has led to so many of the climate change issues we see in the world today. But the word dominion doesn't mean to dominate or to exploit. Rather, it means to take responsibility for or to steward. And in the face of so many climate change issues that are facing our world today, we can feel at a loss of what to do. But to go back to the parable of the talents, I want to ask you this question: what have you done with what God has given you? Now, we may not be able to change government policies as individuals and influence the actions of world leaders, you know, individually by ourselves, but we can do so much with what God has given us. Now, before we finish this morning, I want to show you a little video of what we can do to help and support climate change. Climate change is affecting the world, not just Malawi, but together, if we choose to, as the world, we can make a real difference. Thank you so much for listening today and for your amazing support of Tear Fund. We really do appreciate it. Thank you for supporting Malawi, not just this year, but over the years, several projects through the Eagles Project and now this. And I just want to say thank you so much for that. It's not just the support of the projects, but of Tear Fund. And thank you for taking part in the big quiz last night. And I hope the winner really did celebrate well. But yes, a huge thank you to you and to your support and prayers. Without your powerful prayers to God and huge support, we really would get nowhere. So a huge thank you to you. And I hope I'll get to speak to you again soon. Please do watch this video and God bless you all. Thank you.